Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's right about 6:45 in the morning, and there's a little flicker of light on the horizon as the sun struggles to come up. School trip for the Streets Ahead team. I am about to cycle up to St Pancras station where I'm going to meet Laura and jump on a train, go up to Nottingham, where we all meet up with Adam.
Well, it's very early. Well, actually, it's not that early. And I'm heading to the station to meet Ned to go to Nottingham. Yeah, got my bike ready. And off we go.
I'm going to go and hire an electric car. I'm using a peer-to-peer hiring system, and that means I'm hiring another person's car that they don't use enough. Taking my Brompton there, it's about a mile away.
Hello and welcome to Streets Ahead. Laura and I have come from London on our various different ways. We have jumped on a train from St Pancras to Nottingham. Adam has hired an electric car from his house in Warwickshire, rural Warwickshire, and driven across. We've all met up here in Nottingham, and we are going to do what precisely in Nottingham, do you think?
We are firstly going to do scootering, e-scootering. We've gone to see our friends at Super Pedestrian, who are replacing the current Nottingham e-scooter fleet with their Link scooters, and let me tell you, there's been 1 million e-scooter rides in Nottingham. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, huge number. Yeah, we're going to ride the scooters, we're going to have a go on the scooters, we're going to ride our bikes, we're going to see what the bike lanes are like. I know that they've been doing a lot of emergency active travel stuff in Nottingham, some of which has been made permanent. They've got trams, they've had a workplace parking levy which has helped pay for the trams. And it seems like they're trying some stuff.
And we're literally going to follow in the footsteps and the wheel rotations of Boris Johnson.
Which is something.
So we're on the campus of Nottingham University. Very nice here, very snazzy. There's quite a few cycle lanes, a lot of people walking and cycling. And we are here to try the new Link e-scooters by Super Pedestrian. Now, the e-scooters in Nottingham have been very successful, as I mentioned, over 1 million journeys. They're currently the Windy scooters, but the Link ones are going to be new and a substantial upgrade, which is exciting. Ned, have you ridden an e-scooter in a while? Are you excited to have a go?
2019 in Paris, I rode one of the Lime scooters quite badly. But no, I am looking forward to sort of seeing what, because these ones are supposed to be quite smart scooter sort of thing. I'm looking forward to having a go at that. And they are amazing. I mean, even in the couple of years since I last got on an e-scooter, the technology's come on so fast, isn't it? Like, only yesterday we were in London and we were just pootling along on our bikes, me and one of my family members, and we got overtaken by a guy on a scooter going, I swear, he was going close to 50 miles. I mean, he was in a 30-mile-an-hour zone, he was doing nearly 50. He shot past us. It was terrifying. But on the other hand, it was kind of massively impressive as well, thinking, these things are amazing.
Just clarify, your one will be limited to 15.5 miles an hour today. Laura, when was the last time you rode a e-scooter?
I think it was also in Paris, actually, in 2020.
Scooters,
yeah, me and my boyfriend went scootering around, and that was the last time. I did think about going on one of the ones in London, but they seemed to all converge in Canary Wharf, which was a bit of a journey for me.
Yes.
So, yeah, they all seem to end up there, if you look on the map.
Great, well, let's give these Link scooters a go. Because they're not quite rolled out yet, we're going to give it a go in a car park, which is probably best for everybody's safety.
I am about to scoot now. So I've got my thumb on a throttle here, and I've got my knees bent because I'm told to bend my knees. I'm on this Link scooter going around a hotel car park, being chased by Adam and Laura, who are receiving intense instruction from the scooter instructors, just making sure you're doing this safely.
We're going. Oh, yes. Yeah. You get used to it after a while, don't you? It's a bit sketchy at first, but then you kind of get used to it. Now the braking. Yep, brakes work. Woohoo! Woohoo! Feels quite fast, doesn't it?
I've been caught by Laura with Adam not too far behind. I'm going to have to pull away.
I'm going to undertake. Oh no.
Oh, that's very good.
Oh. Yeah. Got it now. Oh, it goes quite fast, doesn't it?
Thank you very much. That's what I want to hear. I've just been complimented on my scooting style, which I don't think you've been, Adam.
Well done, Ned.
It's all about the legs. Absolutely.
I always thought you were like either regular or fakey, like on a skateboard, but apparently not.
He's also just called me young man, which is outstanding work.
See what happens. Yeah, we just...
That is very good. The other model... That will continue going.
It stops quite quickly, actually, after you take your thumb off.
That's the difference between a Tesla and a £3,000 second-hand car.
Most I ever spent in a car was £360.
Let's go back to the round and back up to the starting position.
Can't catch her up.
Ooh. Oh, you're right.
Over a pebble. Back there.
Emergency stops.
Spin yourself round.
Spin yourself round.
Press the brake.
Excellent. Yeah,
we stopped.
Didn't
say stop. Carry on, please.
You haven't been a police officer, have you?
You're under the care of scooter.
It's quite fun, isn't it? It's just us three messing around on scooters now, isn't it?
You'll have to look at your posture, man, and get you balancing correctly.
You're being,
those legs locked out straight.
You're not. Yeah, your legs are too straight.
I never thought I wouldn't be qualified enough to ride an e-scooter.
I'm the model student.
I have to say, Adam, you're looking very. You're not looking relaxed.
Oh, really?
No. You're bolt upright. You haven't got the flexibility and the sheer panache of my riding stuff.
Yeah, you do have a great panache around.
Great feel of panache. Souplesse.
The what? Yeah.
It's not an arbitrary statement.
It sounds it.
You don't know these things about your body.
Another take situation. Oh, rather tight.
Oh, it's quite fast around that corner.
Right.
That's great. Oops, sorry, nearly ran you over there.
Did it stop when it saw Ross?
Oh, it did.
Brilliant. Streaming.
How was that? Thank you very much. Stand there.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're great things.
We're in Nottingham. We're outside a bike shop called The Bike Lounge, which if you're not from Nottingham, you might not have heard of. You might have seen in the media last year. It was where the Prime Minister launched the gear change announcement back in July 2020. We're back 18 months later to see how it's all going. And we're going to go for a bike ride. We're going to follow in the footsteps of the Prime Minister and go on the bike ride that he did last year. And it's a special trail. We have no idea where we're going. Do we, Laura?
No, we're just following We're following the mayor.
We're following the mayor. Richard is the local mayor. Richard, full name and title, please.
My name's Richard McCrae. I'm a councillor in Broxtowe, and I'm also the mayor of Broxtowe this year.
Richard, you're in your kit. You got your bike, and you're going to take us where? Where are you going?
Yeah, well, we're outside the bike lounge on Woolerton Road in Beeston, and then we're going to head through Beeston Rylands, and we're going down to the Canalside Heritage Centre, which is the start and the finish of the big cycle track.
What's it like cycling around here generally?
I love it, but it needs to be made safer. So, I mean, over in Stapleford, which ain't far from here, we've got a fair few million pounds coming, which we're spending on improving the cycle network and that. It would be nice to see other areas doing the same thing, and I'm sure the government's got some money hiding down back of a settee somewhere. So if they want to chuck some more money towards Broxtowe, I'm sure everywhere would appreciate it, because we do need to make it safer. We need to get more people out, not just cycling, but walking as well.
Absolutely. Right, well, take us there, Ned. You've got your solid tyres on your Brompton. You're feeling fit?
No, I'm absolutely exhausted, and I'm quite intimidated by this Cannondale carbon fibre road bike we're going to be up against.
There's a man with a bicycle with full-size wheels.
Yeah, oh. Not bad.
Right, speak to you soon. So we've just been on a little ride from the shop through Beeston. Mayor Richard's got a bit of a sprint on him. He had him and Ned in the breakaway about 10 seconds, I reckon, at one point.
And then we blinked and they were off in the distance.
Yeah. So. It's those full-size wheels are really really pesky. Where are we, Richard, and what's the significance of this area and this new path?
So we're in Beeston Rylands, and this is the Canalside Heritage Centre, which is an amazing place in Beeston Rylands, still in Broxtowe. And we're at the start and the finish of the big cycle track. You may have seen a few signs on the way down as we come through Beeston. Unfortunately, there's not many cycle tracks that's really usable. I think we need more encouragement, and especially when you get to the junction of Queen's Road, there's no priority for cyclists. And I think it's just little things like that that's going to encourage more people to come out on the bikes and get them down here.
Getting here seems nice, but it very much reinforces that cycling's sort of like a leisure thing, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I take issue with you. Getting here wasn't nice. Actually,
no, it wasn't.
It really wasn't. Yeah. And it's, so I take your point. You're quite right. A little thing, but actually, it's not really a little thing, is it? It's a massively important thing, because this is obviously a really useful. Strikes me as 4 miles to Nottingham City Centre from here, and it looks like we're not going to ride it because I'm too tired, by the way. But it looks like it's probably a really nice ride along the canal, and you know, you could probably use that if you lived out here and worked in the city centre to get to work and back. But you've got to know it's there. You know, and because it takes you away from the regular roads that you're familiar with, you know, it almost feels like it's a halfway house between what you might do on a Sunday afternoon with the kids to get a bit of fresh air and actually being of use to people's everyday lives in terms of commuting. And it seems to, it's kind of a nice resource, but it doesn't quite, what sort of thing it is really.
Yeah.
But also no lights, no street lights, which is so, if you're a woman, yeah. Well, probably a lot of people wouldn't want to cycle along here at night time. Yeah, in the dark, which in the winter time is like 4, isn't it? So
we're just complaining, aren't we?
Well, it looks nice now, and there's good sausage rolls. So, but
it's a beautiful spot. We've got these lockkeepers' cottages. We've got the lock here, one canal, kind of a T junction with another, and then this beautiful open space. It's like playing fields, but and then this lovely kind of path on this raised bank between the two. It's really beautiful, actually. So yeah, nice place to ride, but yeah, more on road cycle lanes. Yeah. I think they've done quite a lot in the city centre, though. They've done a load of pop-up routes as part of the Emergency Active Travel Fund. So they implemented that last year, and I think it was quite patchy. There were some like painted bike lanes, some bits of ones, but nothing really continuous, and then a lot of back street kind of routes. But then it seems like they're now kind of building on that in the city centre. Ned and I came on this beautiful two-way cycle track from the station, pretty much. Like, I don't know how far it went, it was a long way. And then, yeah, they're kind of making more stuff permanent. So, yeah, it seems like there's been a lot of change from what I've been reading and what I've seen, but then, yeah, quite a long way to go, especially in, like, areas like Beeston, I guess.
It stops between the city and the county. I think that's what you've come along. So you've probably come along Castle Boulevard, where it's quite wide, and it's like a two-way, and it's as wide as a car, isn't
really
it?
Good.
It is really good if you're into cycling and that. That's not used as much as it should be, but it is used a lot. But it's kind of, as you come out of the city and you come into the county, so yeah, big shout out to the county council. You need to get your cycling heads on and get some money spent in the county, because we do like cycling out here as well.
So, but that's, I was saying this to Laura on the ride. Like I was saying, I'm thinking out loud, as I often do, really. I haven't reached a conclusion about this. But with some cycling infrastructure, the enemy of the...
Perfect is the enemy of...
Well, that's the normal wisdom. Perfect is the enemy of the good. Yeah. But I actually think with some cycling infrastructure, good is the enemy of the useful, right? So it kind of needs to be perfect, you know? Mm. So it was perfect along Castle Boulevard for about a mile. And then you had to swap over to the other side of the road randomly. And then you got lost with some tram lines. And then it kind of petered out and they gave up. And that's probably exactly where you're talking about, between the county and the city. That's probably the border.
Yeah.
So unless you say it's not being used enough, it's not being used enough because actually it's not useful because it's only it only takes you about a mile long.
We were cycling up when Mayor Richard did his attack up the small hill. Over the bridge, we were looking because there's like a sign that said you could cycle along the pavement alongside, and you could imagine someone in their car behind you going, well, why aren't they using the path or whatever, and they'd be quite entitled to do so, but it it's quite logical to do so at least, and that's because it's rubbish basically, and it just sort of stops, you know, and then you're back on the road again, and it doesn't really add any value other than just getting you out of the way for about 200 meters. So that's the problem. And I think the county and the city thing is really interesting, Richard, because most people just don't care about that stuff, do they? Like, if you're just a punter and you're riding your bike, you wouldn't know where the boundary was or not, but it can make a massive difference to the kind of longevity of the routes.
Well, when you go on your bike, that's the idea, isn't it? You want to go on a bike ride, not a bike stop and start, unless you're going for a donut or a sausage roll or a coffee or something.
Like us.
But you just want to get on your bike and go for that continuous bike ride. Obviously, stopping at red lights, as the majority of cyclists do. You know,
even for the mayor.
All the red lights got us, which I know the ward, and we all did stop. It's one of them things, isn't it? It's a minority give the majority a bad name. But sometimes, like you said, if it's not very clear and you know it's a cycle path, but you go onto the pavement, next thing it's all over social media. Oh, I've just seen the mayor riding on the path. Well, you haven't. It's a cycle path, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
So I can understand why some cyclists just stay on the road, because it's just easier and you don't have to keep stopping and starting. So like you said, cycle paths are a good idea if they're marked right and if there's more of them.
Yeah,
absolutely in agreement. So about 18 months ago, Laura, we think that the... Prime Minister was here.
Darren Henry, the local MP, who's also positive on cycling, we hear.
Yes.
And they did a ride, and the Mayor, Boris, said that he wanted, I think at the time they had plans to do a load of pop-up lanes like a lot of places did. They were going to do one over Trent Bridge, which is one of the city bridges, and he said he wanted that kind of thing to be made permanent eventually. Now, Trent Bridge never happened. It was, I think, a neighbouring bridge, Clifton Bridge, became structurally unsound, and then they had to open all of the lanes for cars. But they are now, among other things, they're doing a whole new cycling and walking bridge over the River Trent, so they're consulting on that at the moment. Mm. So, yeah, but it's, I don't know, my impression from what I've read and what I've seen is that a lot of this stuff is quite new to Nottingham. Yeah. So it seems like they're moving quite quickly on stuff. But, also some trepidation, a lot of consultation. People have kind of said yes to a cycle lane and they say, OK, we're going to consult again on what the designs are going to be. Yeah. And so, they're not used to doing it, but it does seem like they're kind of moving in the right direction. And, I don't know if Boris being here is kind of would have helped that.
There's a bit of a genre almost of politicians, prime ministers unveiling stuff, and they're always sort of in a sort of cycling is recreation mode, if you know what I mean, which isn't a bad thing. You know, I think people cycling for recreation, I do it all the time, with my kids and stuff, is brilliant, and it's great to have facilities like that. But Boris Johnson also did a photo call with Andy Street, and they were on the canal towpath and things like that. And I don't, you know, there's always this kind of photo opportunity next to a traffic-free path, which is great. But it probably indicates, isn't it, that there's often not much of the photogenic places to do it.
Do you know, it makes me think of when Boris launched his big cycle superhighway plans, like £1 billion of money for cycling in London, and Chris Boardman came along. This was maybe 2012 or something, just before he made Andrew Gilligan his cycling commissioner, and they rode along the Victoria Embankment, which was at the time a kind of dual carriageway. It was horrific to cycle on. You'd only ever ride it when the London Marathon came through and it was closed. But they rode along this, and he said, we're going to have a two-way beautiful cycle superhighway along the river. And it was I remember standing there with a load of journalists and looking at this road and thinking, it sounds nice, but I can't actually imagine you're going to do it. But then sure enough he did, and now it's one of the best used cycle paths in the country. So
and how things changed, because Chris Boardman, I think, was wearing a a sports jacket and a helmet at that time.
Yeah, he looked a lot younger. Yeah, so I saw a picture. I saw a picture of that. Maybe the cycling advocacy's, I don't know, anyway. I probably shouldn't say that.
Ages.
Maybe, I don't know. He's a busy guy. But yeah, so yeah, I remember that. He was definitely wearing a British Cycling sports jacket.
Richard, we're going to head up the path roughly. Where can we go from here?
We can go wherever you want. It depends how long your legs can carry you for. But if you do follow this path from where we are, like I said, we're outside the Canalside Heritage Centre at Beeston Rylands. If you go one way, it takes you all the way into Nottingham along the canal, and you come out near the county ground and forest ground. And then if you go the other way, it takes you, well, you come to the same point, but you're going along the River Trent. So one way's along the canal, one way's along the river. You can go either. It's a big circle, and it's a brilliant place to cycle. We just need to make it better to get people here.
Who do you support? Notts County or Nottingham Forest?
As I'm here as the mayor today, I'm going to have to say both, aren't I? Because I don't want to upset anybody.
All right, but this is audio only. So, wink if you support county. Wink if you support Forest.
I would say if I wasn't here as the mayor, I would definitely say Nottingham Forest. And I'm waiting for them to send us a signed T-shirt so we can raffle it off and raise money for Broxtow Youth Homelessness as well. So I've got to say Forest.
Very good.
Brilliant. Well, take us towards the city centre, Richard. Let's see what we find. So we've just finished our ride and accompanying sausage rolls, which are very nice. Can attest to that.
Well, they didn't accompany us on the ride, did they?
Well, no, but they came with it, I guess. They were part of the ride.
They were part of the ride. They were, in many ways, the best bit of the ride. No, that's unfair.
No, it was nice. It's a bit sketchy going through
Beeston.
Beeston.
Once you get out onto the canal, though, it's lovely, isn't
very,
it?
Very nice. Yeah. We were in Nottingham and we thought, because we're poetic from a narrative point of view, so we saw that the Prime Minister had launched Gear Change, which we talk a lot about on this podcast, the £2 billion for cycling and walking announced in July 2020. And we're at the Bike Projects shop. We've rendezvoused back here. It's where the Prime Minister himself did the announcement. And I'm with the owner. Are you the owner? You are the owner.
Owner, yes.
I'm with the owner.
And proprietor.
Rodney Rouse. Rodney, welcome to Streets Ahead. You had the Prime Minister in the shop. What was it like?
We did, yeah. It was all a bit surreal, to be honest. It kind of came out of nowhere. We'd been open literally a couple of weeks at the time when we were approached. He was over in Nottingham opening a new council office, as well as launching the Bike to Work £50 voucher schemes. And we were approached to see if he could come along and launch it all here. So obviously, you know, being a new business, launching up in these difficult times, we were more than willing to oblige.
And how did those £50 vouchers go, and how, I guess more broadly, lockdown wise, when you had lots more people cycling, how's that impacted your business as a local bike shop?
Well, ironically, Adam, we never actually took any of the vouchers. There was so much red tape, and by which time certain other shops locally that were accepting them had sort of put the dampeners on it. And with us being a new business, we didn't have various bits of information and meet the criteria that they were asking for. And also we were so busy that we literally couldn't take any more bikes in, even if we were. We had a couple of people in that probably needed about £500 worth of work doing with their bikes that had been sat in the garages for the last 20 years, thinking they were going to get everything turned round and come out with a new bike for £50. And then when we pointed out that they would need to put money towards it, they kind of walked out the shop anyway. So it was a bit of an odd story there, but that's how it was, unfortunately.
Bit awkward.
But yeah, very awkward. Yeah, very awkward.
How much have things changed in Nottingham, in the city? Because I know that there was a bunch of money for pop-up lanes, and some of them are being made or have been made permanent.
Yeah, so we had the cycle superhighway that basically takes us from this end of town into Nottingham city centre itself. And then they launched the routes along the river and the canal that takes us into Nottingham as well. You can also go the total opposite way into Derby without passing cars, you know, on some of the paths that you saw earlier. So that's been good. They've made new sort of closed areas for cycling. There's been quite a bit of investment for kids. There's a few sort of kids cycling parks where they sort of teach pretend traffic lights, pretend junctions, things like that. But yeah, other than that, there's not been a great deal just yet. We did get the world's shortest cycle lane just up the road, a couple of miles up the road, that was about 20 metres long. That caused a few headlines and things when that was launched. But apart from that, not a great deal.
Yeah, we heard that Mayor Richard, he went down there and took a picture of himself on it and said it was the world's shortest cycle lane. And a lot of newspapers picked it up. So it became this big sort of viral thing.
I think it was literally sort of half the length of our shop, this cycle lane. And as you can see, we're not in a particularly big shop at the minute.
We were doing e-scooters earlier with Super Pedestrian and their new Link scooters. And we want to have a go on a tram later, probably. Nottingham for transport, it seems like it's got sort of quite a few options for people. We always say, like, you need options to get people out of cars and stuff, and it does feel like there are options here. Is that your feeling too?
I would say so, and there has been a big push. Our local MP's been sort of trying to organise groups and meetings, sort of action meetings, and there's a lot of development in the pipeline. It'll just be a case of, you know, hoping that even a percentage of that comes to fruition and we see it happen, everything will be we'll be in a much better place. It depends who we're trying to look at. You know, I think there's a big chunk of the market are commuters, and it's a case of looking at ways of getting them out of motorised vehicles such as cars, buses and onto bikes, but then also the safety aspects for the existing cyclists as well, and making it all safer for them.
That was going to be my question, actually. Do you get a sense, you know, of the people who've been in through your shop for the last 18 months or so, getting bikes out of sheds or maybe buying a new bike for the first time in a long time? Are they people who might go out for a bike ride along the canal on a Sunday with the family? Or are they people who are thinking, I live in Beeston, I work in the city centre, I need to get in and out and I'm going to try it on a bike?
I think in the early days, there was a lot of people who were wanting to take a bike for leisure purposes. And sort of, especially if you think back to kind of lockdown one, when we were all allowed an hour of power or whatever we called it, where you could go out for an hour's exercise on your own. I think that we definitely saw a lot of that at the start. But more recently, there's been more people. I think people are still not feeling confident on buses and crowded sort of communal areas. So they're looking at using their bikes or getting new bikes to commute. And they're the people really we need to be looking at, and how can we embrace that, make the roads safer, and also bike storage. People are still worried about having their bike stolen when they get to wherever their destination is.
The council told me that one of their new plans, they've got public realm improvements around the Broadmarsh area, which is near this train station.
That is,
and
yeah.
There's a bus station as well. And it's an old shopping centre that's being redeveloped, I think.
That's right.
They told me they're doing a new 120-space cycle park due to open next year. Do you think that's going to be well used? You're smiling slightly.
I think if we see it, and the problem is the development of the shopping centre. The owner of that shopping centre, I think, went bust like 12, 18 months ago, and they ran out of money, and that's just sat as it was when the bulldozers first moved in. So I think the car park area and that area that the council are referring to will happen, but at the minute, all you would step out onto is a building site. So, you know, you've got parking at the train station and around there anyway, which is already well used. So I don't know, until the rest of that development takes place, what else they're going to benefit from.
Oh, so when they say due to open next year, maybe it was due to open, but whether it will or not is you're
probably
a bit
doubtful. Yes,
well, it'll be open. There'll be no shops to go to or whatever.
Yeah, the car park has now opened. You know, and I can see, yes, there will be cycle parking alongside that. However, how well used that will be, given the surrounding area at the moment, will remain to be seen.
Have you been on the Carlton Road bike lane?
I've not done the Carlton Road bike lane, no, unfortunately.
Okay, I was watching some videos from one of the local campaigners, and they took you along various of these routes during the first tranche. So when it was like painted lanes and a few kind of bollards and stuff, and it goes along Carlton Road, but then it turns off and it goes up an incredibly steep hill, and I think into the city centre was downhill, and then it goes down.
It
again.
Is a hilly part of town anyway, so you will inevitably get a couple of good climbs and descents around there. But the cycle superhighway is very similar. You know, it's a great idea in principle, but I do wonder sometimes if the people that design the lanes have actually ridden a bike or
same old story.
Been through it.
Yeah.
You know, you've got junctions dotted along, you've got cars pulling out and parking in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Most of the time you'll find you've got cars parked in it overnight.
Yeah.
So yeah, the theory is good. I do think sometimes they need some sort of consultation with cyclists or people that actually use them before they finish these projects off, though.
It's funny, isn't it? There's a kind of double standard, because you wouldn't expect roads to function like that. Like you expect roads to be comprehensible. You know, you don't expect to get behind the wheel of a car and drive to a city you don't know and go, I don't even understand where I'm supposed to be putting the wheels. You know, where do I drive on this bit or do I drive on that
exactly.
bit? It all kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's designed with the driver's clarity in mind. It's incredibly important. It's a huge consideration. It doesn't apply to bike lanes.
Yeah.
So Laura and I, you know, we rode out to Beeston from the station and we're eulogising about the segregated cycle lane as far as it lasts. Absolutely brilliant. And then it just gets random.
It's just random, I think. Sometimes you've got them segregated, then all of a sudden it goes.
Which is fine when you
together.
Know it, right? So if that's your regular commute, at the end of week one, you've figured it out. And you can kind of make sense of it. But if you're complete strangers to Nottingham like we were, it's just incoherent.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. There is no sort of pattern. And I always think back, you know, when we used to go over to Belgium and places like that, you've got a clear sort of regulated footpath, cycle lane, parking area, and it's always in that pattern. And then the sort of traffic flowing section of the road. And wherever you go in that country, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Whereas over here, you're never quite certain which bit you should be driving down, which bit you should be cycling down. And it often leads to arguments and sort of some strange looks from people who, you know...
Your colleague there is nodding his head along like he's experienced
doesn't understand, you know, where you should be during that area.
Yeah, we had a little flirtation with some tram lines as well, didn't we? That with my tiny folding bike wheels was a little bit sketchy.
Well, we should probably go and have a go on the tram as probably the final part of our integrated transport expedition, if you like. So we'll go and do that. We'll give up. We've done the scooters, we've done the bike so far, and probably should go and do some trams as well. And I've had an electric car as well. Yeah. All of the mix today. We're going to do that. Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you, Adam, guys.
And we will see you soon.
We're at the tram station.
Hold on. Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm going to do mine. What does it say? Please touch. Yes. Okay. Success. Very modern.
I don't know why you're going there. Right?
We can stand.
Yeah,
that's fine. He's over there instead.
He does
instead.
What I do in a world of his own. That's what I'm like when I'm out with my family.
It's a good tram, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's a good tram. We're doing a podcast about transport.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
What do we think of the tram so far, Ned?
Well, it's good, isn't it? I mean, it's very clean, it's very modern, very simple to understand. Even for, well, actually, yeah, it is very simple to understand, but we managed to have found it enormously complicated. I don't quite know why.
I think I paid.
But, yeah, we think we've paid with the contact listing. And very simply, just carry our Bromptons on, job done, isn't it? But
yeah.
you couldn't take your big bike on, because you haven't got a folding bike, so...
I don't think so. There is the foldy seat area.
There's a very clear sign there, Laura, with a bicycle symbol.
You can't eat either.
A red line through it, and you can't eat dogs or smoke cigarettes.
Or have burgers.
It's quite strict, that, isn't it, for public transport?
Yeah, so I don't know if that's really necessary. I think you could probably get a bike up here.
Or a dog.
I think a dog.
The dog thing's a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah, and burgers.
Maybe they're worried that the dog's on a fourth road.
Yeah, but Nottingham, I mean, you know, it's one of the few cities, isn't it, in the UK with a tram network. There aren't many. Gosh, there really aren't. And there used to be.
We got rid of them all.
And if you go to the, you know, Germany is a country I know very well. If you go to the equivalent of Germany, every city or town, you know, worth its salt has a tram network. So, but it's, you know, I shouldn't be complaining about it, really. It's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I mean, economically, they're questionable, aren't they? Because they cost a fortune to build and maintain, and you kind of wonder. But then again, they do intangible things, like make city centres very attractive.
Yeah,
yeah.
They are great fun.
And access to employment, and easy...
On the whole, come on, trams are good. What am I feeling?
Are we getting up at this stop?
Yeah,
okay. More bike parking there as well, look.
Oh, yeah.
Bike parking at every spot.
This side, yes. Behind you, Adam.
Laura, right at the beginning of the podcast, you said something really interesting about the tram lines being paid for by what exactly, or partly paid for, partly financed by what was it exactly?
The workplace parking levy. So the workplace parking levy, basically they charge... How does the workplace parking levy work?
What are you asking me? You researched it. No, it works by charging the employers... It's up to the employer, I think, whether they pass that on to their employees, but I think generally they absorb it. So they wouldn't call it a tax, but some sort of charge that if you have parking in the city centre that you pay, the revenue from that charge goes into more sustainable transport options.
Yeah.
It's quite simple, really, and actually, you know, obviously not everyone loves it, but I think it's quite a palatable way to generate revenue to pay for the actual form of transport
and
that
also,
we need.
And behaviour change. So... It was introduced originally in 2012. By 2018, when Carlton Reed covered this for Forbes, it had raised £61 million in revenue, money which was spent on measures like the tram, and reduced car use. And Nottingham was going to introduce an ultra-low emission zone, or a low-emission zone, or a clean air zone, as some cities call them. But they said that other measures, including workplace parking levy, had done enough to bring Nottingham's air pollution down to legal within the legal limits. They didn't have to do that.
And as far as I understand it as well, because I was listening to a debate about this, I think Southampton were trying to introduce the workplace levy, parking levy, and meeting some resistance. I might have got that wrong. It might not have been Southampton, but I think it was.
Other places are trying.
I did hear in the debate that Nottingham is being hailed as a kind of a master template because it has been successfully employed here, and so it does sound a very progressive policy.
It's nice. I should say, I mean, don't get me wrong, this is not a utopian
city, but there's things happening. And
where we stood now, we've got I've just seen three or four people on bikes, a couple on e-bikes go past. There's a good dozen people waiting for this tram, you know, in the outskirts of urban stuff. Yes, we are next to a huge junction with a large farting motorbike going past. But this is what you would describe as integrated transport. There are choices for people.
It feels more continental European. It does. I mean, maybe it's the presence of the tram, but it feels like there are options, there are choices, and there's some thought being put into it. And you can't say that of everywhere. So
yes.
I've enjoyed my little trip to Nottingham. But go on, you've got some more facts and figures at your...
Yeah. So for a business, each car parking space costs £428 per year, per workplace parking space. So yeah, it's payable by the employer, and then some employers choose to reimburse them or all of the costs from their employees. The cost of the workplace parking levy is going to increase, and during the life of the scheme they expect to raise an average of £12 million a year.
Good on
them. Quite amazing. It's a huge amount of money.
Good.
So
you've got to get your electric bike eventually when we go back to find it in the car park you left.
It's my electric car,
electric car.
I had a bit of a I was arriving at this sustainable transport event by Super Pedestrian, and clearly a council employee had parked in the only electric car bay with his Nissan Leaf, and I got there with my Nissan Leaf, and we had a sensible and polite discussion about whose charge was lowest and therefore who required it the most. And I mean, that's a challenge in itself, isn't it? But I'm going to go and do that, and we should say thank you to Super Pedestrian for helping sponsor this episode. It's brought us to the delights of Nottingham, and that's us, really. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Share this with some friends. Until then, we'll see you next time.
Cheers, bye.
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 Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.